Were there any other 18-inch Journey? Yeah. Oh, hey, Caitlin. Yes, yes. Oh, my gosh. This is awesome. Don't you love how David's tent feels like a big family reunion? That's what that moment felt like for me. So, yes, I have an hour to share my heart with you guys. How many of you smell worse than you did when you came? Yeah? I think they're going to open up some of these sides so some air can start. I can smell a lot of you. Wow. Thank you, Father. Yes. We love you, Father. We want to come up and sit on your lap for this next hour. Father, we want to see the way that you see the world. We want to see the way that you see us. Lord, I ask in this next hour you would draw us into that beautiful face-to-face place that Jesus died for us to live in. He rose from a grave and he tore the veil so we could come face-to-face with you, Father. He ascended to you and he said, I'm going to my Father and I'm going to your Father. So come, Holy Spirit, in this next hour and take us closer to the Father than we've ever been. Show us who you are, Papa. Show us who we are. Holy Spirit, come, reveal our identity as sons and daughters of an extremely happy Father. Father of kindness, come destroy fear with your absolute perfect love. We stand astonished that you would call us by name. Bring us closer. Amen. I want to read a little bit from Psalm 103. Who's thankful for the book of Psalms? Yeah? I don't know if I would still be a Christian if it wasn't for the book of Psalms. You can find almost every human emotion inside of this book. You can find a heart crying out to God with authentic, pure honesty. You can find the heart of a man named David who 3,000 years later has left a legacy of worship that we're still walking in, yeah? We're still walking in the breakthrough that David created in the earth. We're here, not at David's tent, but as Andrew Sherman said, we are David's tent, yeah? We are the dwelling place. And David scribed this song, Psalm 103. And I think the greatest worship leaders are those who are the greatest followers of his presence, yeah? I know last night for me, just watching Heidi love Jesus made me want to love Jesus more, yeah? She's an incredible worship leader because she's just an incredible follower of his presence. And some of the greatest worship leaders are those who know how to lead their own heart in worship, yeah? And David opens up in Psalm 103, and he's telling his own heart to worship the Lord. Have you guys ever been in one of those moments where you have to tell yourself to worship the Lord? Worship is never a bad choice. So David opens up Psalm 103, and if you didn't know, all of these psalms, all 150 of them, weren't said, they were sung. Many of them were spontaneous moments that David was having with the Lord. And they were written down. And this is a moment where David cries out, praise the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. The one who forgives all your sin. That's some scandalous grace there, yeah? A God who forgives all of our sin. David's singing about this 1,000 years before the cross. I think if you came to church with David, you would get nervous. He said stuff to God that would make you feel very nervous. When he's saying, praise the God who forgives all of our sin, I think it made the religious spirit start to move in the room and get very uncomfortable. My dad calls that the, well, never mind, I won't say it. It's slightly inappropriate, but... Okay, it'll be good for you British. He calls it when someone's speaking and you can feel the religious spirit kind of starting to get uncomfortable in the room. He calls it the pucker factor. And he says the pucker factor sometimes will get so high in church that if people stood up, the pew would come up with them. So I think when David's saying, praise the one who forgives all of our sins, the pucker factor got a little high in the tent. What kind of God is this? That loves us because he loves us, because he loves us, because he loves us, because he is love. And there's nothing I can do to change his love. Nothing I can do to make him love me more. And nothing I can do to make this father love me less. He loves me because he loves me. Praise the Lord, O my soul, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, and he crowns you with steadfast love and compassion. Nathan's prophecy over David was that out of David's heart, out of David's line, would come a generation that would call God Father. He's prophesying of Jesus coming out of David, but it speaks of a generation that began to call God Papa. No one in the Old Testament had the audacity to step out in that place and begin to call God Father. And the most revolutionary words a human ever spoke were when Jesus stepped onto the scene and he called God Daddy. Nothing shook the religious system like the Son of God calling God Father. It changed everything. Nothing infuriated the Pharisees like Jesus calling God his Father. And David sings out, the God who redeems us from the pit, and he crowns us with love and compassion. Have you ever read about the elders around the throne? It says they're throwing their crowns down day and night. Angels absolutely exploding in new songs. One day I asked the Lord, I was like, Lord, why do they keep throwing their crowns down? He said, because I keep putting the crowns back on their head. And I had this picture of the elders, they've been there since the beginning, and they're absolutely astonished at the beauty of his face right now. They're in absolute wonder at how beautiful he is. And they're falling down right now at this moment going, worthy is the Lamb! And they're throwing everything they have down at his feet. And God's like, oh, I love this song. Do you hear it, Jesus? They're singing one of my favorites. And the Father gets down and he scoops up the crowns that they just threw down. And he picks them up and he puts the crown back on their head. And he said, I love you. You are beautiful. You are worthy. And I believe David's tent was a place where it wasn't just man singing to God, but it was God singing back to man who he really was. It was a place where David was crowning God, and then God was coming down and crowning the heart of his worshipers. Yeah? I'll never forget, a few months ago, I heard my little daughter, Haven, she's 9 years old, And she's got this awesome Helser raspy voice already. And she's on the other side of the house, and she's playing with her toys, and she's singing one of my songs. And I'm just busy in my workday, and all of a sudden I stop. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's singing my song. I felt so chosen in that moment that she would sing my song. Because she lives with me. I'm not cool to her, you know? And she's singing, you split the sea so I could walk right through it. And when I heard my daughter singing my song, I wanted to run as fast as I could and just grab her and get her as close to me as I possibly could. How do you think the Father feels when you begin to sing his song? When you begin to sing the words he's written, he moves heaven and earth just to get close to you. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made his ways known to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger. And he is quick to steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor pay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are over the earth, so great is the steadfast love of the Father towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So David is singing about God's love being like the love of a father. For he remembers our frame. He remembers that we are dust. I'll never forget my first kiss with my wife. We had this wild, crazy plan that we would save our first kiss to our wedding day just because we wanted it to be a gift to each other. And it was the most amazing kiss. Because we had waited like a year and a half. And we had a lot of moments we almost kissed. Many dates where we just were like, just forget that little thing we were going to do. Let's just make out right here. But we waited somehow. That's the testimony of the grace of God that I could wait a year and a half. And we had like a 1.5 minute long kiss. It was unbelievable. We have it on video. We showed it to our son and daughter a couple weeks ago, and they were like, this is so uncomfortable. It was such an amazing God moment. We had, at our wedding, my dad and her dad married us. They're both ministers. They read Isaiah 61 over us, and then we had two caged doves that we took out of the cage, and we got to loose the doves as they were reading Isaiah 61 over us. We had no idea that 15 years later we would name our collective the Cageless Birds. And we released these two doves, and they fly home together. And then I got to kiss my wife. I'll never forget that first kiss. God says he remembers that we are dust. God's first interaction with man was a messy interaction. God gets down in the dust of Eden and he reaches into mud. He's on his knees and he pulls mud out of the ground. And the angels are gasping that the Holy of Holies has just got dirt under his fingernails. Anybody have any dirt under their fingernails after living here for the last 2 days? And the Father himself pulls up the dust after sculpting out of the earth a man. And he pulls the clay face to face with himself. We don't know if God was still kneeling in the garden or he was holding us on his throne, but we do know this. Life began with a face-to-face encounter with God. When the Almighty puts his lips against clay and he kisses us. I think Psalm 103 is saying God remembers his first kiss. He remembers that we are dust. The word worship in Greek and Hebrew is not a genre of music. The word worship is a position of the heart. The word worship in Hebrew is shakah, in Greek is proskuneo, and it's a position of the body. It means to bow low and press your face against the earth in adoration of the one you're before. So when we take our face and we press it against the earth, what happens? Well, first of all, this is really cool. Watch what my heart does. Ready? My heart just rose over my head. You press your face against the earth and your heart rises over your head. And you return to the place you came from, dust on the lips of God. You return to that place we came from. Face to face with our Father. Oswald Chambers says that worship is giving back to God the best he's given us. The Apostle John says, we love God because he first loved us. My theology, to break all those big things down, are last Christmas, my kids came to me and they said, Dad, we want to buy you something awesome for Christmas. Can we have $100? I'm like, no, you can have 200. Give me something really awesome. Actually, here's my credit card. We come to a Father who has unlimited forgiveness, unlimited affection, an endless supply of kindness. And we receive that love, and then we give it back to him. We receive the crown on our head first, and then we throw the crown back down. My favorite worship moments are when I am just screaming to God, God, you are worthy. And he interrupts my song with his song. And he just stops and he puts his face against mine and he's like, Jonathan, shh. You're worthy. You're holy. Psalm 32, another beautiful psalm of David. Verse 7. Here's David singing to God. God, you are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. And all of a sudden, David has a Selah moment. He has a heaven interrupting earth moment. He has a collision with the Father moment. And all of a sudden, God starts singing back to David in verse 8. And the voice of the Lord sings back to David, I will instruct you. I will teach you the way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I will lead you. Don't be like the horse or mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle or will not stay near. But come, follow my voice. He surrounds us with songs of deliverance. In America, before our Civil War happened and the slaves were emancipated and freed, in the South, an African slave was judged by the color of his skin. But if he could cross the border between the North and the South and come to the northern states in America, he would no longer be judged by the color of his skin and he would become a free man. And
these slaves that worked in the field, they began to have this secret passageway called the Underground Railroad. Have you guys ever heard of that? The Underground Railroad. A little American history for you. And the Underground Railroad were secret passageways where the slaves could get from the south to the north. And the slave owners in the south would let the slaves sing in the field while they worked. And so the slaves begin to realize that they could sing the directions to freedom while they were working in the heat of the day. So they could spread the news of freedom across the fields and through the states. And so they would stand in the fields while they were working and they were singing songs of deliverance. They would stand in the fields and go, "Whoa, follow that Big Dipper in the sky. We're going to cross over the Jordan River. We're going to wade in the water. Wade in the water, children, wade." And they all will follow the Big Dipper. We'll follow the North Star. It'll take us to Canaan land. We'll wade through the river. And they were hearing the directions to freedom while they were working in the field. They were called signal songs. The song "Wade in the Water" was a signal song about the directions, how to get to another atmosphere where freedom was found. Isn't that incredible? That kind of makes the whole definition of songs of deliverance come alive, yeah? The Father steps into our mess and He sings over us our identity and our freedom. He comes and he steps into our humanity and He sings who we really are. One of my other favorite ways to describe a song of deliverance is I heard about this story of a caged eagle that had been in the Pretoria Zoo in South Africa. Any South Africans? Oh yeah. Been in the Pretoria Zoo for 15 years, and they had this caged eagle that they had brought out to this massive nature preserve to release the caged eagle and let him go free. And so they bring the eagle out, and they have this huge ceremony. 15 years this eagle has been a slave to the cage around him. And they open the doors of the cage, and freedom is right there. And guess what the eagle does? Sits in his cage. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour goes by because the eagle's not in the cage, the cage is in the eagle. And then all of a sudden, across the sky, this massive free eagle flies by. And it lets out one of those eagle cries. And as soon as the caged eagle hears the sound of freedom in the sky, he instantly remembers who he is and flies out of the cage. No flying lessons required. He hears the song of what he was made to be, and he instantly remembers who he is, and he flies into the atmosphere of freedom right above him. He surrounds us with songs of deliverance, singing out our identity. Romans 8 says that the Spirit of God is testifying who we are. It's testifying that we are the sons and daughters. I had this moment when me and my wife, after that first kiss, you know what comes after the first kiss? We got pregnant pretty quick. And we are only like a year into marriage. We find out we're pregnant. And I'll never forget that first day. I just couldn't believe that I was going to get to be a dad. Because I had been fathered well, I couldn't wait to be a father. And that night, I'm laying in bed and I cannot sleep. It's like Christmas morning's the next morning. But it's really like 9.5 months away. But I just can't believe that in my wife's belly is swimming around my son or my daughter. Now, we already knew that we were going to name our first child Cadence. The Lord had spoken that to us. And so we knew if it's a girl or a boy, their name's going to be Cadence. Cadence is the The rhythm that a drummer boy plays to set the pace for the march, for the army to march to. It's the rhythm of music that sets the pace for the march. Of course, Cadence happened to be born on March the 1st, which is pretty awesome. Setting his own march. But I'm laying there in bed, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be a dad. I get to shape this little life swimming around inside of my wife. I get to shape this life with my prayers. I get to shape this life with my words. And I started having this idea, what if I wrote my son a whole album full of songs before he's even born? And I have songs that are already telling him of part of who his identity is, already crowning him with who he is. When I put my daughter to bed at night, I've had this beautiful tradition where I'll sing her that Joe Cocker song. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? And sometimes I'll just stop and she'll like sing it back to me. It's so awesome. The other night I'm singing it to her. She's just getting all cozy. And I instantly have this vision of me and her dancing at her wedding to that song. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, Dad, why are you crying? And I realized that I have the privilege from this moment that I held her as a baby to shape her life with my words. Every little girl longs to hear from her father, you are beautiful. My son so much doesn't want to hear those words. You know what he wants to hear more than anything? Well done. You're amazing. Because you know what he says to me more than anything? Hey, Dad, watch this. I never know what's going to happen when I hear those words. They are the famous last words of many rednecks. Hey, watch this. You just never know what's going to happen when someone from the South says that. But he longs for my voice to reveal who his identity is, right? So I'm laying in bed. He's swimming around inside of my wife. I'm realizing the power I have as a father to shape him with my words. And so I just like gently put my hand over my wife's belly. And I'm like, I just want to pray for him right now. I'm so excited. But I'm going to pray real quiet because I don't want to wake my wife up. She does not like to be woken up in the middle of the night. Imagine a bear being robbed of her cubs. It's violent. And so I'm, Cadence, I don't even think you have ears yet. But your spirit can hear my voice. And I declare that you are already loved. Not because of anything you've done, but because of who you are. And you're going to be a prophet to the nations. And I'm getting louder and more charismatic. And I'm starting to prophesy. And Melissa wakes up. What are you doing? You can wait 9.5 months and then get up anytime you want in the middle of the night with this little one. And so the next 9 months, I did that several more times, especially as her belly got bigger. It just was so fun to shape him. And I had written him this song. And it was a lot like a lullaby, but more than that, it was a prayer for his life. And the prayer was, Father, bless this child. May his eyes see your face. May his ears hear your voice. May his heart love you always. Because I realized if we can see the face of God, we see everything, right? If we can hear the voice of the Father, we get it all. When Solomon was proposed with the question, ask me for anything from God. You know what he asked for? He asked for wisdom, but the word wisdom was a hearing heart. When Solomon got ears that heard the voice of God, he got everything. Father, bless this child. May his eyes see your face. May his ears hear your voice. May his heart love you always. And so, Cadence Zion Helser arrives in our world March the 1st, 2002. And after the dust had settled in the hospital and our families had gone home, it was around midnight. And I had this moment where I went over and I scooped up 8 pounds, 14 ounces. And it was the heaviest 8 pounds I'd ever held in my whole life. Because I realized I am responsible for these 8 pounds. And I took Cadence out into the hallway of the hospital and I sat him on my lap. And I love how my children would fit from here to here in my lap. And I sit him down and he's fast asleep. And I just begin to gently sing, Father, bless this child. May his eyes see your face. His ears hear your voice. May his heart love you always. And as the first lyrics got out of my mouth, his little eyes go boom. And his heart said to me with words louder than his voice could ever speak. He looked into me and he goes, oh my gosh, you're the guy. You're the guy who's been waking me and mommy up for the last 9.5 months. I've heard your voice, but now I see your face. And I realize that's what it's going to be like when we pass out of this world into the womb of eternity and we're born into eternity. We're going to be before a Father in his embrace, staring face to face, and we're going to gasp with all creation, oh my gosh, you're the guy. It's you. You're the one who's been singing over me my whole life. He has sung his goodness into everything our eyes can see. Day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, God steps back from creation, from the canvas he's made. Oh, yes, let's do this. Here, I'll let you read it because it'll sound so much more official.
Mr. and Mrs. Rosenfeld, are they here? Somebody here? No? Oh. Oh, okay. The children's tent, they need collecting from the children's tent.
That's a good sister right there. Yeah. So God steps back from every day of creation, and these are the words he says, it's good. I don't think he just said the words. I think he's saying the words, yeah? He steps back and he's like, Jesus, come on. This is good. Creation is praising God right now because God first sang over creation. Have you encountered God in a sunset? Have you encountered God in a sunrise? Have you encountered him looking at the mountains or hearing the way the waves hit the shores? Have you encountered him walking through the forest? Have you encountered him out in these fields looking up at the stars at night? You're encountering him because he's saying his goodness into all of that. Yeah? Creation is praising him because he first sang over them. And we're the only thing he stepped back from and said, this is very good. Yeah? So we are singing back to the Father the goodness he first sang into us. This is worship. That's some good worship going on over there. You never know what's going to come out of that tent. It's so beautiful. So good. So we had my son Cadence. He's 13 years old now. He just turned 13. He's up to right here, almost 6 feet. And this David's tent for me is really special because I have my 13-year-old son with me, and my dad just flew in from Norway last night. So we have three generations of Helsers here at David's tent. Yeah? It's really awesome. And my son loves his granddad. And I love my father. And there's been an incredible redemption story that's been told that I can not only have a father, but also have a best friend in that man. I'll never forget the moment I sang my dad the first song I'd written. And as I sang it to him, it was a blubbering mess. Because I didn't know what I was doing on the guitar, and my voice was just all over the place. And the reaction he had to my first song was tears and a smile that just broke across his face. And he looked at me. I was 18 years old, and he's like, I have been waiting for 20 years to hear that song. And so now I have a 13-year-old son here. And that prayer, Father, bless this child. May his eyes see your face. May his ears hear your voice. Me and my wife are beginning to see the beauty of him now encountering the Father for himself. We had a moment as a community. We live in community. All the guys you see playing in our band are leaders in our school. And we run together as a community. And we had this moment a couple months ago when Cadence turned 13 that we had the whole community gather around him. And we had 2.5 to 3 hours of giving him gifts and words and declarations that the teenage years of his life will be the best years of his life. And this transition from being a boy into becoming a man was going to be glorious. And he was made for this. Me and my wife gave him Aragorn's sword from Lord of the Rings. You know? He has it hanging over his bed. And he was given these incredible gifts. And I started out the night saying, the more tears that you cry tonight, Cadence, the more of a man you are. And we had a moment where we stopped in that transition and just declared his identity and who he was. I love that Jesus had that moment when he was 12 years old. All we know from the moment Simeon held Jesus to the moment he's baptized in the Jordan is that 12-year-old moment, right? When Jesus himself is making that transition from boy to man. And Joseph and Mary lose God for 3 days. Can you imagine that moment? We lost our kids one time in the supermarket for like 30 seconds, and I thought my wife was going to kill me. But I think Joseph totally lost Jesus, and Mary's just like letting him have it. 3 days they lost him. And I think Father God totally set it up because he just wanted Jesus to himself for 3 days. And when they come and they find Jesus in the temple, what does he say to his parents? Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house? And so as we have this night of declaration over my son, who it just felt like days before I was holding and singing over, I realized that part of great parenting is losing them to God. Yeah? Great parenting is teaching them to need the Holy Spirit because you never outgrow that need. Yeah? And I realized that the beautiful transition is me singing over my daughter, you're so beautiful to me. But if she can hear that song from the Father, she hears everything. If Cadence can hear well done from the Father, then he gets everything, right? And so part of these next years are about him learning that God wants to discipline him more than I do. God wants to speak to him more than I do. And so we have this incredible night. 2 weeks later, we're at this conference in Nashville. And it was a 3-day conference. And during the conference on the front row, there was a deaf man on the front row who my kids have never seen someone that's deaf being signed to the whole time. So someone was signing and interpreting the whole messages. And so my kids were really curious the whole time. And the last night of the conference, we were leading worship, and we finished worshiping. And as we finished worshiping, got off the stage, and my son Cadence ran up to me. He's like, Dad and Mom, guess what? I prayed for someone tonight. We're like, oh, that's so awesome. And we said, who'd you pray for? He said, the deaf guy on the front row. I'm like, whoa, shoot for the stars. Come on. That's awesome. I'm so proud of you. He runs off, and he's just a kid, you know? No pressure. We never told him to do that. He just chose it. And so later that night, the interpreter came over to my wife and she said, I was with your son tonight. He came to me and said, can I please pray for this deaf man on the front row? And she said, I have been walking. I am best friends with this man. And I've seen hundreds of people pray for him. And he sometimes won't even let people pray for him because so many people pray out of their agenda, but not out of compassion. He said, but when your son began to pray for him, the man just began to weep because so much compassion was coming out of your son's heart for him. And he said, I have never seen anyone pray for this man like your son did. And we were like, oh my gosh, we're the most proud parents ever. So we go home that night, and we were all staying in one hotel room together. And as we got up the next morning, we're packing our bags to head back home. And Cadence goes, oh my gosh, Mom and Dad, I had a dream last night. And in the dream, I was we were in this hallway with the whole band, and we're walking around, and we realize it's time to go home. And I go over to Joel, the drummer, and I say, Joel, I want to get home. And Joel said, the best thing to do is go back down the hallway to the library. And when you get to the library, there's a book in the library. And the book will take you back home way shorter than you could walk home. So Cadence said, and then he's kind of reliving the dream as he's telling it, you know. He says, so then I walk down the hallway. And as I'm walking, looking for the book, I hear someone calling my name. Cadence. Cadence. And I walk around the corner and I walk into an office. And there is God sitting at a desk. And we just stopped packing. Did he say something to you? And he said, yes, he did. And as he said yes, these tears started coming out of his eyes. And he said, God said, Cadence, I am so proud of you. I am so proud of you for praying for that deaf man last night. And he's just weeping. I am so proud of you for praying for him. And we're weeping. Just undone. Many of us have been looking for that smile our whole life. And he gets it when he's 13 years old. It was a marker moment for us this year. I love what Heidi said last night. The door is open for us to come in, yeah? The Father is calling our names. He wants to sing identity over us. He wants for us to come to that beautiful face-to-face place. Have you ever stared deep into someone's eyes and seeing your own reflection staring back at you? I was holding Stephanie's daughter the first night of worship. Her name's Wonder. And I'm holding little Wonder, and she's got these bluest eyes. They're like the Caribbean ocean squeezed into her eyes. And I'm looking into little Wonder's eyes, and I see myself staring back at me. I see my reflection in Wonder's eyes. And I realize that's what a face-to-face moment with God is all about. Because in that moment, Cadence discovered that God is in a good mood. And God is singing over him the same pleasure he sang over Jesus at the Jordan River. You are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And in that moment, as him discovering who God is, he's discovering who he is, right? I love the Peter-Jesus moment where Jesus is like, hey, who do they say I am? And they say, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John. And he's like, no, no, no. I want to know who you say I am. And he points into their chest. He says, I want to know what your heart is saying about me. I don't want to hear the people's song. I want to hear your song. And Peter, of course it's Peter. He goes, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And the smile that broke across Jesus' face. I can't wait to watch the DVD. This is one of my moments. And Jesus is like, oh, now that you know who I am, let me introduce you to yourself, Peter. Let me introduce you to who you never imagined you could ever be, but it's going to happen. This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And you're Peter, you are a rock, and on you I'll build my church. And I'm going to give you keys that open up heaven on earth, yeah? And in that moment, everything that was lost in a garden was found in a face-to-face moment as Peter began to sing back to God who he really was. And then God began to sing into Peter's heart who he really was. It's like the rain that comes out of heaven. And you guys know exactly what that feels like. Worship is like the rain. It started above us, coming down and drenching us. And it went into the dust. And then out across the horizon, a son of righteousness began to ride across the horizon of our life. And he began to draw out of us the song that was originally sang. And all around us right now, the heavens are filling back up with a song, right? The water is rising. Well, the sun's not completely shining, but it's not raining. Yes, hallelujah. And the heavens are filling back up with the rain as the sun pulls them out of the earth until the heavens can't contain it anymore. And Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit say, let's do it again. And they pour. I just spit on someone. That was a visual interpretation of what happened. The rain comes down out of heaven. I'm so sorry. Hopefully that was anointed spit. The rain comes back down and it waters the earth. And then it rises up again and then it falls again and then it goes up and down again. Like the crowns that are going on the elder's head and then off the elder's head and then on the elder's head. It's this beautiful cycle of I love you, Dad. I love you, my sons and daughters. On and on and on. We'll be eternally fascinated by this song. Yeah? 70 hours is just a drop in the ocean that we're about to swim in. And it will not be boring. A song between the heart of a father and the heart of his children, back and forth to one another. You are so beautiful to me. You are my sons and my daughters. Let me read just one more scripture. You guys okay? I'm ready to go worship now. This is Romans 8. For those who are led by, verse 14, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, by which we call back out, Abba, Father. So we have received the spirit of adoption by which we're crying back out to God. We received a blank check from the Father. And therefore, we're able to give him the gift of worship. You've received the spirit of adoption. And the spirit himself, it's testifying with our spirit. You're the children of God. And if you're the children, then you are the heirs. You are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. That was so much fun singing with you guys last night. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Like, me and Melissa have just been waiting, like, oh, I can't wait to sing that. Have you guys seen the Royal Rule Britannia video on YouTube out there? Last year, we had a moment at David's Tent. It was a marker moment for our band where Luke Skaggs, our violinist and guitar player, he had this sneaky little idea that somewhere at the end of Explode My Soul, he would begin to play one of y'all's anthems of this nation. Yeah? He didn't tell any of us he was going to do it. He actually told Molly, he said, I'm going to do something kind of risky in this next worship set. If I do it, will you go with me? And if you watch the video, there's a moment, Molly, the piano player, it's his sister, his oldest sister. There's a moment where they slow-mo'd and Molly and Luke catch eyes and they look at each other. And it's so awesome because she's like, this is what you had up your sleeve. And he begins to play this anthem that your nation has sung. And someone here, tell me the chorus. Anybody here know the chorus of that song? Britain shall never, 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 never be slaves. And as Luke began to play it, you could feel this confidence begin to wake up in the heart of the worshipers in the room. Yeah? I love this nation, guys. I wrote my first two songs in the dirt of this land. I used to walk these fields with a Walkman. Does anybody remember what a Walkman was? And I had these albums called The Heart of David. It was from Morningstar. And there was this song that one of our spiritual fathers, Don Potter, would sing. And it was, I think, a 26-minute long song. And it was called, Take the land, children, take the land, walk right over the river Jordan and take the land. And I would put the cassette on. It was all of side two. It was one song on all of side two. And I would walk in these fields and I would dance like a maniac. And only the sheep and God saw me. And I'm sure a few angels were laughing hilariously. And it was in these fields that I discovered the smile of my father. It was in these fields I had that moment that Cadence had in the office where I saw my father singing back into me who I really was. So to come back here 16 years later and dance like a fool again in the fields of England and discover the smile that David found in Psalm 103, that he's a father who has unlimited mercy and kindness. As far as the heavens are from the earth, so far is his affection for us. This is like a dream come true. And then to stand there and sing, we're no longer slaves to fear, but sons and daughters of an extremely kind father. Ah. What a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, our time's up, but we're going to worship tonight together. And close out these 70 hours. But I want us to take just a couple minutes and let's all stand up and let's just take a moment to receive the smile of the Father. It's incredible. Who's at the first David's tent? Anyone here? Yeah? Oh my gosh, it's amazing. All right, any second year was your first year at David's tent? Okay. And then last year was your first year? And how many of you, this is your first year? Okay. You guys are like the guys who worked in the vineyard at the end of the day? It's totally unfair. You're getting the same paycheck that we're all getting, who've been here working all day. It's incredible, guys, what the first note this year of David's tent, the hunger level that was in that tent. Like last night, it smelled like the rear end of 1,000 sheep. It's probably what David's tabernacle smelled like. And we're crammed in with no space, and you guys would not stop singing. To see what God's done in the last 4 years is absolutely incredible. So I am so honored to be here. But the greatest thing we can ever receive is the smile of this Father. He longs for us to hear His voice. In the same words that He spoke over Jesus in the Jordan, "You were my beloved." So let's take a moment. Let's close our eyes. Father, we don't sing for your delight. We sing from your delight. We don't sing for your pleasure. We sing from it. And then as we sing from it, your pleasure just explodes over us. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, and we give you this next moment. Would you mark us again with who our Father believes we are? Who our Father says we are? Lord, I ask for every son and daughter of this place that you would silence every other voice but your voice of love and kindness. Because when we know your voice and we know your nature, we don't question. We just lay in storms and we sleep in your embrace. And then we stand with you and we speak peace to the waves and we rule them. Because we're no longer slaves. We're sons and daughters. So I declare peace over every heart in this place. That we would fall deeper into the embrace of our Father in the days ahead than we've ever been. Holy Spirit, show us the smile of the Father. Convict us of the righteousness Jesus died for. Convict us of the righteousness that is our inheritance. Open our ears to hear your voice. Open our eyes to see your face. You are so beautiful to me. Let's sing it to the Father. You are so beautiful to me. One more time. Yes, you are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? You're everything I hope for. You're everything I need. You are so beautiful to me. Papa, we want face-to-face moments. Where in your eyes we see who we are. And in your gaze, we are defined by your thoughts. Do it again, Daddy. Do it again, Daddy. Sing your song. Do it again, Daddy. Show us your face. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.